Welcome to another episode of Movie Mastery. It's the podcast where we watch the movies you recommend, and it's time for an In Theaters Now. I am your host, John. Over there, my co-host, Jeff.
Fuck Greg.
Fuck Ray.
That's what I think about this.
That's what I say.
Yeah, fuck Adam. Old DC comic character, the Ray.
Fuck Ray Stance, am I right?
I mean, seriously, shut up about Ancient Aliens. That's the right one, right? That's the one who thinks about. No, that's no, Dan
Ray,
Aykroyd.
Yeah, Ray Stance.
Ray Stance is the character that Dan Aykroyd
plays.
Yeah,
in the
Ghostbusters,
the motion picture, the Ghosted Busters.
You know, I think that in that movie, in between receiving imaginary blowjob ghost goat blowjobs.
Imaginary ghost blowjob ghosts.
No, blowjob ghost blowjobs. Which are blowjobs one receives from a blowjob ghost.
Yeah, I'm the ghost of a blowjob. Receive me.
That'd be a ghost blowjob.
Yeah.
And I'm
this
talking
is
about
a blowjob ghost blowjob, yeah. Not a ghost blowjob ghost.
No, a ghost blowjob ghost is a. When the ghost of a blowjob doesn't show up to a date that you had previously arranged. A blowjob ghost blowjob is a blowjob from a blowjob ghost. A ghost blowjob is a blowjob from the ghost of a blowjob.
Okay.
And a ghost blowjob ghost is when you are left standing at a coffee shop, for
it's
example.
It's when someone kills your ghost blowjob.
It's the ghost of a ghost. A double ghost.
Well, I'm glad we sorted that out. Thanks,
yeah, I think that was really important to take my stutter and turn it into a whole series of definitions.
Hey, man. Bits.
How you doing?
Bits are great.
No, I'm great. I'm not complaining about the bits.
I love bits.
I'm still working my energy level up. It takes me... I'm on a ramp now because of all the meds.
I'm on a ramp now.
Yeah.
I'm about to jump over, I don't know, probably
Snake
the sheriff.
River Canyon.
I'm Duke boys.
I'm on a ramp now, and I'm going to gently let myself off the ramp, because no ramps is what my doctor said.
No ramps.
No quartz.
Don't be near ramps.
No pipes. In fact, he wants me to avoid all forms of simple machine.
Yeah.
No levers, no pulleys, no Archimedes screws.
Only complex machines for this guy.
That's right. I can be around computers.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, double pulley rigs.
Double pulley rigs.
Yeah. You know, a double pulley rig costs about the same as an Archimedes screw.
Well, only if you're getting it from a blowjob ghost. Folks,
how you doing?
We went and we saw Captain Marvel in Theatros. Now, we're going to get into a full spoilerific review in a bit, but we will give anyone who wants a little taste mm-hmm. of what's coming with our spoiler-free review right now. I'm going to go ahead and say... Congratulations. It's a movie.
If you've seen one Marvel movie, keep seeing them. They're all pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get out of the movie and immediately want to talk to someone about it. And that is the way that you know it was not very good or very bad.
Yeah.
Because if I get out of a movie and I want to talk to someone about it, something has happened.
Hospital scheduling prevented us from seeing this one together. I probably would have had a couple of things to say at the end of it. But for the most part, it was just, you know, self-contained and satisfying. There was nothing wrong with it. I remember when you and I went and saw Hereditary together, for example.
Uh-huh.
And when we came out, I was fit to bursting.
Oh, no. The two of us walked out of there, and, like, there was this palpable radiance of each of us just holding back a rant until we got outside and was like, God damn it!
That would have been so much better if it ended after 22 minutes.
Fuck! Pikachu!
It's Clefairy!
Fuck!
No, but like, with this one, when I came out of the theater, I was like, yeah, you know, that made sense.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
That was like a solid B-minus of a movie.
Yeah, it was acceptable. It was like how I felt walking out. Some of the other Marvel movies, like Iron Man 2, I kind of felt about the same. No, people are going to think that means I'm damning the movie entirely because Iron Man 2 is like... the worst.
Nobody likes Iron Man 2.
I actually kind of like Iron Man 2 because I'm a really big fan of Sam Rockwell.
Okay. That's a weird thing to be a big fan of, but okay.
How are you Sam Rockwell is amazing.
Uh-huh, sure.
You're losing listeners right now. You're losing your own listeners. They're going to stay on for me.
Sam Rockwell contingent is so angry right now.
They're going to stay on to listen to me talk about how great Sam Rockwell is, but they're going to close their ears when you talk.
Yeah.
From this point forward, you are the sound of birds burning in a shoebox. where I am the person who is right about Sam Rockwell and his cool little dances.
His cool little dances.
I've loved him since Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Yep. You can do that.
Yeah, and he even did an okay job with the extremely terrible job that the movie did with Zaphod Beeplebrox. Making his one head hide behind his other head. That's ridiculous. Just make him a double-headed weirdo. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah. Anyhow, how you doing? yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
Standout performances by a couple of key people.
Yeah, there were definitely some good moments. There were some good performances, like you say, by a few people.
Sam Jackson sings as S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Nicholas Fury.
Nicole Fury.
Ass Fury. That's what he goes by, Nicole Ass Fury.
Ass Fury.
Yeah. Also, Ben Mendelsohn's character Talos, particularly cool.
Yeah.
Great character, great portrayal. I also really liked LaShawn Lynch a whole lot. She played Monica Rambeau,
mm-hmm.
and Brie Larson did a fantastic job as the character, although I think she was hampered a little bit by the story choice.
Yeah, and...
I really look forward to seeing her be allowed to open up for more in future films.
I think, like, this movie definitely gives you a glimmer of, like, oh, you could do some really interesting stuff with this, but... You know, given that this has to be an origin story, you've got to kind of cover some ground here.
Oh, but it's not an origin story, don't you? It doesn't count as an origin story because it's a flashback origin story, like on Arrow.
Yeah.
You know they're doing flash forwards on Arrow now.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
it's the last season. Why not? Fucking do whatever you want.
They look into the future.
Yeah, they look into the future, and there they see he has a goatee.
Yeah, he has a goatee, and Mad Dog. Or Renee or whatever has like old man hair.
Old man hair.
He has old man hair. He has Gary Oldman hair.
He has Gary Oldman's hair.
He looks like Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg.
All right. So there you go. There's the non-spoiler. Pretty decent, you know, worth watching, but, you know, nothing amazing.
Another fine addition to the Marvel film franchise. It's kind of like an Ant-Man and the Wasp level of holy shit, you're going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we are going to play a little music.
Hold on. I really, really fucking loved Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like an Ant-Man.
Like an Ant-Man. Yeah. Like a Thor.
Well, no. Thor, okay, you're right. As long as it's not Thor 2.
No, like Thor. Thor 2 is the worst Marvel movie that has come out.
Thor is a weird Marvel movie in that it feels like they made it on the very, very cheap. Because it doesn't really have a lot of interesting locations or anything. And you love the character, but not for any of the action stuff he's going to do.
No.
It's just... mostly for the part where he, like, throws a cup at the ground or demands a large dog.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway. But, no, it's a fine film. You'll have a good time watching it.
Yeah. So, as I was saying before I was interrupted, we're going to play some music, and then we are going to come back with the full spoiler review of Captain Marvel. We are back.
Which girl power anthem did you choose there, John?
I don't know. Something.
Like Elastica or the Breeders or something?
Nah, I'm probably going to put something from a dude there.
Oh.
I'm going to really stick it to those SJWs.
That shit is so infectious. It's in my family.
Ugh.
My dad was like, this movie sent kind of a weird... like, he didn't quite know how to articulate it because he's not of the internet.
Yeah. He hasn't quite become, like... interneted.
I'm not sure who was telling this stuff to him, but he was like, yeah, I felt like that movie had like too much of a feminist message, you know? And I was like, okay, please elaborate. Tell me each point of the film at which there was too much of a feminist message and how it made you feel at that time. And he's like, yeah, you know, I just kind of, yeah. I
was like, yeah. You know, it was like there was a lady in it.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Honestly, watching it, I was like, this doesn't have a feminist thing. It's just a lady in charge. Like, that's not, it's not like it's coming out and being like, hey, these dudes are bad because they're dudes or anything. They're like, hey, it's just it's a superhero movie and the superhero is a lady. That's it.
Yeah. You remember when Ellen was dragging, Ellen
got someone onto her show and she's like, I hear
Ellen.
You like dragging.
My first name is Ellen. I should have said, you remember when Ripley was dragging Paul Reiser through that movie and like telling him what to do and like how to stay alive and being mad at him?
Yeah.
It's like that level of a feminist movie.
Yeah. He was mad about you.
Yeah. He was super mad about you. And then Helen Hunt showed up. And she was a xenomorph.
Yeah, little known fact.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, John, are you ready for you know that Fox acquired, was acquired by Disney as of today, as of recording?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you ready to acknowledge that the Xenomorph is now a new kind of Disney princess?
No.
Okay.
Because there aren't any princesses. There's only queens.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What about Neytiri, Zoe Saldana's character from Avatar, also recently acquired by Disney?
Oh, boy.
I don't think none of this counts, of course, because Disney princesses, there's 11 of them specifically, and there's tons of them who were from the cartoons that aren't Disney princesses now.
Yep.
You got your Island Wheeze and what have you. They don't count.
Island Wheeze?
Island Wheeze. She's the main female character in The Black Cauldron.
Yeah. No one cares about that movie. It's just you.
I don't care about that movie.
I'm
just aware of the character names.
I'm just aware it exists.
Because I'm very, very deeply invested in the books upon which it was based.
I thought you were going to say you're very deeply invested in random minutia.
I mean, also, yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't do this job if I wasn't. What would I dump to when I stutter?
What would I dump to?
Anyway, yeah, the whole thing where you can pretty much dismiss this out of hand. And if you're a fan of us, you probably already did. All the MAGA chuds and what have you that were mad about this movie were all wrong. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the arguments they've been making have been increasingly stupid, too, where they're like, people are like, hey, it's the top of the box office. And you'll see these arguments like not when Endgame comes out. And I was like, yeah, oh, good. You're right. It'll get beat by a different movie by the same studio.
Yeah.
What a huge loss.
That has the same character in it. Oh, my goodness. I bet they'll feel silly then.
Then they'll apologize, I tells ya.
Ugh.
Right after she's in the probably biggest movie ever released.
Good job, you idiots. Okay, so Captain Marvel is a movie.
Yeah, and I am remembering at the moment how it begins. John, do you remember how it begins?
I am remembering it, but do you remember it?
Because I certainly don't remember it. I mean, I'm in the process of attempting to remember how it begins.
So we have Brie Larson with a flashback dream sequence thing.
Yeah, she like wakes up in her apartment in a cold sweat because she remembered some stuff where she like fell down.
Yeah, she was in some sort of crash and she remembers Annette Bening shooting a Skrull.
Yep. Except is it Annette Bening in her vision who shoots a Skrull?
Yes.
Okay, that's right. All right. And then she like has that's apparently a recurring dream because the next thing is she wakes up in her apartment and looks out the window and, oh my God, we're not on Earth.
Nah, we're on Hala.
We're on Hala. So anyway, Hala is the capital city of the Kree Empire.
Indeed.
The Kree Empire in the Marvel Universe is a bunch of like blue people.
Except when they're not.
Except there's a couple of specifically pink Kree, which in the comics is a distinction, like a relevant distinction. Mar-Vell, the original character from was a pink Kree, and pink Kree were looked down on, and most of the blue Kree were racist against pink Kree because they weren't thought to be as powerful. In the cinematic universe, it's anyone who is big enough to have a contract that includes you can't fucking paint me.
Yeah. Gets to be
what color
just
they
are. Just a dude.
Yeah, and that seems to be, they've decided to just run with that, which is fine, honestly.
Yeah. I was like, what's this? Oh, I'm Jude Law. You're not painting me.
Yeah, you're not going to fucking paint me, because you already let Damon Hounsou get away with this two movies ago.
So,
or several movies
fuck
ago.
Off.
So, yeah, here's my middle fingers.
You can give me weird contacts, and that's as far as I'm going to let you go.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can sit on it and spin. Paint that big beard guy blue.
Yeah. Nobody knows who that guy is. Fuck him. Paint him blue.
Basically, Kree are humans, but also blue is available.
Yeah. Also blue.
Also comes in blue.
And if you come in blue, probably, I don't know, see your doctor.
I'm guessing they also come in blue. I mean, they bleed blue, too, which is...
Yeah, and just like we bleed white.
Humans aren't all white. It'd be like if we bled a variety of weird colors.
Yeah, but I'm saying we come white.
The two of us? Oh, yeah. That's right. We do come white.
Yeah.
Wait, you do?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I come more of a puce.
I come in like a marble color.
I come correct.
You know, like that agate color where there's like swirly things inside there?
Yeah, you know.
And they're moving.
And then they're inside and then they wave to you.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, come on in.
Yep, it gets weirder and weirder.
Yep, the more we want to talk about this, the worse it's going to be.
Well, fine. She goes to the apartment. Apparently, her boss lives in the apartment across the hall from her.
We don't see her, like, walk there, so who knows how far away it is.
That's true. She walks 100 miles.
And then she walks 500 more.
Yeah, just to be the person who knocks on the door of Jude Law.
Yeah, Jude Law plays what, Yog-Saron? What's the guy's name?
Yon-Rogg.
Yon-Rogg. There we go.
Yon-Rogg. A lot of people thought he was going to be playing Marvel for a long time in the production of this film. That is not the case. He plays Yon-Rogg, her commanding officer in an elite squad of, I think they're pursuers?
Yeah.
Their specific title.
Kree motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're just Kree warriors. And she's like, hey, and he's like, hello, dream again? Yes. Would you like to get in a fight with me? And then they go to the Hall of Sexy Fighting.
The Hall of Punches.
Mm-hmm.
And there, amidst other people having fights in the background, they fight. And Jude Law lets her know, hey, you got to control your emotions. Also, maybe smile more.
It's basically a setup like that. He doesn't actually tell her to smile more, but he's like, you know, hey, you must remain in control of your emotions, or your emotions will remain in control of you. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, what has been given can be taken away, he says, because at one point during the fight, she, like, lights up one of her fists because she's losing. So apparently she has magic sparkle fingers at the moment, which let her throw, like, super punches and beam blasts and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's all she's got.
Yeah, she's got photon blast power.
Yes, and she has a little disc on her neck, which she assumes is giving her the powers that she has.
Yes, so he can hit a button, and it kind of goes, bzzzt, and she's like, oh, my power.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Deb.
Right. Yeah. Ray Romano also in this film.
Ray Romano, oddly enough, in the background sparring.
Fuck Ray, I think.
That's my opinion on Ray Romano.
Okay, so then it's time for her to go and meet the Supreme Intelligence, which...
Yeah, it's time to light the lights.
Yeah. It's time to get things started on Captain Marvel tonight. So they take a subway full of blue people to the Supreme Intelligence headquarters, where they have a discussion about how Hala operates and what's going on.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's all ruled by an AI that has the brains of every dead Kree in it.
Which is a much better way to go than the comic book giant head in a jar with tentacles.
Yeah, it's kind of a purple lump. Kind of looks like Mother Brain.
Oh, man, it's a green lump.
Is it green? I thought it was... okay.
No, it ain't purple.
It's a big green
lump.
That's
the whole reason that Supreme Intelligence has green eyes is because it's a throw to the Supreme Intelligence being green.
That's fair. I thought that was just because Annette Bening had sexy green eyes. Oh, sorry, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Oh,
whoops.
My God.
So they're like, yeah, the rule of the Supreme Intelligence is unquestioned. Also, it's extremely personal what they look like when you see them in person. And no decree is ever allowed to divulge that information to any other
Kree.
Well,
no one would, because it's so deeply personal.
It's so intense. It must be that it's just always like their best friend naked.
Yeah, always. Every time you go see the Supreme Intelligence, it's always your mom naked.
It's your mom naked. That's why
you're like,
oh,
I'm never going to say this. And the Supreme Intelligence is like, I love fucking with these guys.
Secret's safe with me.
Don't worry, I won't let anyone know you're a big old pervo.
Yeah, you weirdo.
That's right, I'm the Supreme Intelligence, and you're a weird pervo.
We put too many Wallace Shawns in this brain.
That's right, it's me. The Supreme Intelligence!
Mostly Wallace Shawns! okay, so... But today is her day to meet the Supreme Intelligence to make sure that she's ready for field duty.
Yeah.
So she goes to meet the Supreme Intelligence, and weirdly, when she meets the Supreme Intelligence, it's someone who she doesn't recognize at all. She has no idea who this person is.
It's just the lady from her dreams, Annette Bening.
It's Annette Bening.
And she's like, I have no memory. We find out she doesn't know anything from... like, before 6 years ago, she woke up in a hospital on Hala.
On Hala, and has been recruited into this elite fighting squad by Yon-Rogg. Everyone calls her Veers, because that's everyone's favorite Imperial AT-AT tank commander.
Yeah, everyone's like, Lieutenant Veers.
Mm-hmm. Actually, because they have a little chunk of a dog tag for her that says...
Well, we don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet, but fuck it, I'm saying it.
You're jumping way ahead of the spoiler game.
I mean, they call her Veers, and I mean, who's hiding from the fact that this is Carol Danvers? Are we supposed to spend the whole movie going, huh, maybe this character is named Veers?
Well, no, but I mean, it's sort of a fun reveal when they're like, oh, it's because you have a back part of the dog tag that just says Vers from Danvers.
What you mostly learn from when you see the dog tag is that Kree pronounce single E's in the beginning of words as sharp E's, like assholes. Veers? It's Vers.
Yeah.
It's clearly Vers.
And I mean, you'd think, okay, well, that's a Kree thing.
Yeah.
They only have that sort of E sound. But then you have Minerva,
mm-hmm.
And it's not Minerva.
It should be Minerva. I'm incensed.
Oh, yeah. No.
Also, Marvel. It should have been Marvel.
Marvel.
And not that either. So, anyway, just wanted to point out that that is some horse shit.
Yeah, it is.
Horse
I mean,
shit.
Know that I also thought that. As soon as they showed the thing, I was like, wait a minute, wouldn't your name be Vers?
Yeah. No, because she's named after the Imperial guy.
Yeah,
you know, the Vers. He leads the AT-AT invasion of Hoth.
Or maybe they just changed it slightly enough. They're like, oh, but if we call her Vers, maybe it'll sound like her name and she'll remember something. So no, we'll just call her Vers.
We'll just pretend that we use these flat E's. Okay, well, anyway, yeah. She has a brief conversation with the Supreme Intelligence, who more or less just kind of belittles her a little bit.
Well, it's just kind of like, hey, remember to stay in line and, you know, what otherwise we'll take your power away. And
I don't know why she never bothers to question why no one else on the team has photon blasts.
Well, I think she's like, oh, I'm an experiment. I'm a cool, rad prototype. Yeah.
And she does have Kree blood. Like, when she bleeds, it's blue.
Yeah.
Either that or that's a fake thing. I think they mentioned that she got a blood transplant in the hospital.
Yeah, she got transfused from Yon-Rogg.
Yeah, she got like a permanent blood transfusion, so she always bleeds blue.
I mean, I wouldn't say that.
I would.
I wouldn't.
I would. I would say that.
I wouldn't ever say that.
I would very clearly say that. I would say it loud and proud. I would go from door to door and say that.
I would. I am legally required to go door to door and say that.
Hi, kid. Are your parents home? Carol Danvers bleeds blue.
Anyway, I'm out.
Here, you got to sign this.
Carol Danvers bleeds red, white, and blue. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I got
to
go.
She's just like a few of the other Marvel characters where you don't really feel that connection to America exactly. I mean, in this case, I guess it's because she used to be an Air Force test pilot.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, I defend the world, not America. It's the same thing with Superman.
Yeah.
You're like, this guy is no, there's no way he can operate on a national scale.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, they go on a mission. They go on a fun mission.
So they find out that some Skrulls have apparently infiltrated some planet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anyone who reads the comics or knows anything about Marvel space know the Kree and the Skrulls have just sort of been at war forever.
Yeah, they got beef.
They got mad beef from a mad cow.
Yeah, they did. Both species are like alien imperialist types. They
both have the we are superior genetically thing going on in the comics.
Yeah, and so they rub each other the wrong way. And if I remember correctly, one of the species was specifically introduced as the foe of the other, and that was all they were really there for in the beginning. But anyway, the Skrull are like big-eared goblin men.
Yeah, they're big green goblin guys that can shapeshift.
I wonder if they've ever actually hung out with the Green Goblin, like the character.
I wonder if any of them took the form of the Green Goblin or like, oh, that wasn't hard.
Yeah, that's real easy.
Oh, hey.
Oh, wait, this guy's wearing a costume.
Wait a minute, I just had to smooth my chin out. That was basically easy.
That was as easy as when I had to do Thanos, and I just had to turn my weird chin purple.
And, you know, shrink the ears down.
A little bit. I mean, a little.
A little.
Yeah, but like, but yeah, I'm just curious if the comic continuity has a moment where, like, the Green Goblin meets a Skrull and is like, hey, look at these guys.
Hey, you and me, we're all right.
We're pals, Pybok. You and me, Pybok, the Power Skrull. I can name two Skrulls.
Okay, what's the Super Skrull?
Super Skrull.
Yeah, see? Fuck you.
I used to be able to name him. Now I can't.
Yeah, it's Pybok and?
Pybok
and?
Kerr something or other?
Curlin?
Curlin. It's something in there,
Curly
yeah.
Q's?
It's something that starts with Kerr.
Because
I remember, because in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, you could play as him, and he said his real name at one point.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you have it. That's why I remember who he is.
Yay.
He was removed for Infinite, because, you know, Infinite's a bad game. It should feel bad. Okay, anyhow. Now I can name Talos.
Yeah, there you go.
And Talos is science guy.
Talos is science guy.
I can name so many Skrulls. Oh, wait. I think I should be able to name one more, can't I? What's the one in the thing? The John, you know the thing.
You know the thing.
The Runaways. There's a Skrull there.
Hulkling.
Hulkling isn't a runaway. I mean, Hulkling is a Skrull. You're
Hulkling's
not wrong.
Half Skrull, half Kree.
He's half Skrull, half Kree, which is great. But no, the one that like ends up taking Carolina away and marrying her.
Yeah, I don't know, because he wasn't a runaway.
Well, he was like in the Runaways. That's like the only place he's from.
No, I mean, he showed up in the comics.
In the comic, The Runaways.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
But he wasn't one of the titular Runaways.
I think he eventually joins the team when Carolina comes. I'm sorry. At that point, this genderless Skrull joins the team when they come back. Because remember, by the time they've married Carolina, they're female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I don't give a fuck. Whatever.
Yeah, well, I'm shapeshift.
You're into ladies? Great. I'm a lady
watch,
now.
Watch me shapeshift. Here we go. We're so off topic. Anyway, the mission is to go. There's some Skrulls on some planet, and they're about to catch some Kree spy.
Yeah.
And
they're like, our Kree operative has been compromised, and we got to rescue him before the accusers go and bomb the shit out of this planet.
Yeah, and there's maybe some locals on the planet, but it's kind of a backwater planet, and there might be Skrulls there, so don't talk to the locals at all because there might be Skrulls. Just go find this spy and get out. And then the accusers are going to show up in those big ships you remember from Guardians 1 and blow the shit out of everything. And also Lee Pace is there because he wants a paycheck.
Yeah, he's back.
Don't worry about it.
It's me.
I was worried we'd never actually see him in this because it's the first three or four times you see him, it's all just little holograms. And then you do finally get to see him at the very end.
Yeah, he's just hanging out.
Yeah. Also, we get to see the team be assembled. Before they go on their mission, you've got Captain Marvel herself, although she still just veers.
Yeah,
Yon Rogg. You've got
Atlas,
Minerva, and one more.
And that guy.
Two more, because Korath the Pursuer is there, and then some other guy
and someone else.
Atlas is a big beardo with a Swedish accent. Minerva is Gemma Chan. Damon Hounsou is still Korath the Pursuer. I guess
and then a dude with a pistol. That's like his only thing. He's got a pistol.
Yeah, he shows up occasionally in reaction shots.
Yep.
So there's a whole team of these guys, and they are vaguely positioned against the accusers. The accusers are like the heavy forces, elite zealots of the Kree Empire.
Yeah.
So Jude Law's plan is to go in, find the spy, and get out before the accusers fuck everything up, and so that the accusers don't have to fuck everything up.
Yeah.
Is basically his idea. But Lee Pace, Ronan, is like, hey, is it cool if I fuck everything up?
Hey, I'm all set to fuck everything up.
Yeah, so but they're like, no, stay still in your weird-looking bow tie ship and just hang out there.
You just chill. We're going to go do cool stuff on planet.
Mm-hmm. And so they fly to this cool planet.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably more of a shitty dust planet.
It's a bug planet. It's an ugly planet.
Cold planet. They fly to this place. There's some locals there.
Yeah, so they go through. They find fucking the spy that they were supposed to find. And whoopsie doodle, wouldn't you know it, it's a Skrull.
This spy's a Skrull, and this is our first chance to really see what's up with Skrulls. They can just turn into whatever, and they can access the short-term memories of the people they turn into.
Yeah. It's weird that they specifically say in the movie, they're like, oh, they'll copy you down to the DNA. So there's, like, no way to tell who's a Skrull unless you can get them to tell you something that the Skrull couldn't possibly know.
Yes.
And so they had this code system that apparently was like buried deep in the unconscious mind,
mm-hmm.
that they would be like, oh, we say a code to someone else and they repeat a code back. And that's how we know that you are not, a Skrull, because you wouldn't be able to just access that.
Yeah.
But they knew the access code. They knew what was up. And it's because they've got some sort of memory extraction machine.
Yeah, they've got a big old memory bore drill kind of thing. Well, anyway, things go tits up. Brie Larson's the only one who makes it into the building where the spy is. Captain Marvel veers. When he turns himself into Ben Mendelsohn, you're like, oh, shit, she's alone with this dangerous Skrull. And then he just, like, quickly knocks her unconscious.
And then just tasers her, basically.
Yeah, he just hits her with a taser. The missions all fall into hell, so the rest of the people get off planet, and the accusers start bombing the crap out of everything. Also, all the locals turned out to be more Skrulls.
Yeah.
So at this point, we know that she's trapped alone on a Skrull ship.
Yeah, they're scrolling through her memories, and we get some stuff where we actually see her memories that she can't remember.
Yeah.
Because she's been fucked with by the Kree to block all these memories out.
So one time she rode a go-kart, like, way too fast.
One time she, I don't know, was...
She got pushed over on the beach.
Pushed.
Almost all of her memories are about her getting pushed over or falling off things.
Yeah.
Mostly so we can have a dramatic sequence of her standing up. She falls off a go-kart. She falls down on a beach. She falls down during Air Force basic training. Just so that we can have, the montage sequence of her getting back up.
Yeah. I mean, that's later, but here it's just the bad parts of it, her falling.
Yeah, but what's kind of neat is that throughout the course of watching all of her memories, Talos can kind of control them a little bit.
Yeah, he's like, all right, go back.
He's like, oh, focus down. Look down, you idiot. Look down. Okay, there we go. Focus on that. Yeah. that kind of thing. And this is our introduction to Talos, Ben Mendelsohn's character, which is great because he plays him with like a thick, stupid British accent.
I love Talos, by the way. He is great.
No, his accent's perfect for this. It's sort of, he's like a weird thug accent. Sounds like he's mad about soccer. And there's a point where you can't quite tell because he's wearing, you know, Power Rangers looking scroll makeup, where the accent is, you can't tell if it's a choice or if it's just because the makeup restricts his lip movement.
You know, it's like, is this a choice you've made or is it because you have vampire teeth in? It's one of those situations.
Yeah, and you're like, I think it's both. I think he tried on the outfit, tried to talk, and was like, okay, I can work with this. I'll lean into it.
I'll just lean heavy on the fact that I've got a whole bunch of nonsense on my face.
Yeah. But he's basically kind of trying to figure something out from her brain. What he manages to uncover that she can remember is that Annette Bening's jacket had a logo on it for a company called Pegasus.
Yep.
And that they were on the planet C-53.
Yeah. Now, as a comics man, the fact that Pegasus got introduced in this is wonderful to me because that means we've finally got the setup to bring the Aquarian into the Marvel Universe.
God damn, that's a deep one.
Because, you see, Pegasus is the one who took Wundar and then turned him into the Aquarian during their experimentations.
In this movie, Pegasus appears to be kind of a test flight thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously.
I'm sure they just do generic evil science, too. So
they're just probably, government science.
It's probably fine. I'm sure they'll do whatever evil science you need.
Yeah.
That's funny, because I was just having a conversation about how easy it would be at the moment to bring a super obscure character in.
Yeah.
I think, I can't remember what his name is, but he's the guy who shows up and takes Krakoa after the Krakoa X-Men arc.
What?
You know, this has been my dream for a while now, John. Now that the X-Men belong to Disney and they're going to show up in the Marvel Universe at some point,
yeah. The
movie I want is the Krakoa arc.
Okay, so you want to have the X-Men get captured by an island and then the all-new, all-different X-Men show up?
I want the movie to start with them already captured by the island.
Yeah.
And then the all-new, all-different X-Men show up to rescue them. And so the whole thing is just Banshee and Sunfire and Storm and stuff, like, fighting an island.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that the guy who, at the end of that arc, there's, like, some big alien dude whose name is presently escaping me. It's just, like, the creator or something like that, shows up and just snatches Krakoa. Now, this character is later, he shows up in Marvel Space. He's actually the dude who creates Ego.
Ah.
Which means that you could have a scene where that dude's in the thing and you could have Peter Quill being like, that's my granddad.
Great.
Anyway, I'm sorry. This is going off on a rail. Yeah. But you're right. You can definitely bring the Aquarian in.
Hell yeah. And that's all I want.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a dude to show up, look like he walked off the set of some 70s musical and be like, what up?
I just want Disney to buy Hasbro finally so we can have Rom the Space Knight. I mean, just get it done. What's it going to, it's going to cost you way less than Fox did.
Well, I don't know about that.
It was like $71 billion to buy
it
Fox.
Is several billions.
Yeah. I don't know what Hasbro's worth these days, but come on. They can break off a chunk of Rom the Space Knight.
Oh, yeah.
For the mouse.
Do it for the mouse.
Anyway, she wakes up during all this interrogation. She's got the core takeaways. Plant C-53, this person who used to work for her, or that she used to work for, Pegasus. Yeah. And so she breaks out of her memory dingles.
It's a great fight scene of her just beating the shit out of a whole bunch of Skrulls.
And she still has her hands caught in a hover doodle, like these two like
it's big metal like pod things on her arms.
She's just pile driver hands.
Yeah.
So she gets in a big fight with a bunch of Skrulls and knocks them all over the place with her pile driver hands, which are stopping her from using her photon blasts.
Yes. And it's super great. Everything's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And she manages to steal a little craft.
Yep, and then she heads to C-53.
Yeah.
Because she wants to solve these mysteries. There's mysteries that they found in her head that even she didn't know about. And Talos is almost kind of...
solve history's mysteries.
And Talos is almost kind of nice to her during these scenes.
Yeah, well, I mean, she needs to go there as well because she's like, these Skrulls are going to go there and I got to stop these Skrulls.
Yeah, but there's a point where right before she escapes where he pops in and he's like, hey, remember me? You didn't kill me yet. Hey, we're actually on the same side in this. I didn't do anything to your head. I just found shit in there that you didn't know about.
Yeah. She's like, why did you put those things in my head? She's like, that wasn't me.
That wasn't
me.
Was
there.
That's just crap I found. And she's like, ah, fuck you, Skrull. And then she leaves.
Yeah.
It's the first fuck in a Marvel movie.
Yeah. That's the first heavy fuck.
Yeah, I think they took it before Deadpool showed up, just so that he couldn't claim that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's the plan. They gave it to Brie Larson.
Yeah.
That's a part of the SJW agenda.
Only the SJWs get to say fuck now.
And obviously they want to claim Deadpool because he has cool swords and guns, and they want to ignore the part where he's like a pansexual or like a free spirit. I was going to say libertarian, but I meant to say libertine.
Libertarian. Libertarian Deadpool is a hilarious concept.
Way more boring than the regular.
But I mean, the thing is, I could see that if he's like, no, I just fucking whatever. Anyone do whatever the fuck you want. I don't give a shit.
Castle doctrine. But no, he's, I meant to say pansexual libertine, which is pretty much a Deadpool.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's how you get Deadpools.
So, Brie Larson crash lands in a Blockbuster.
That's just to make sure you knew this was 1995.
Yep. And,
there's still one open, though.
There is.
Yeah.
But not where they had her land.
Yeah, it's like in Perth or something.
No, man, there's one in, like, America.
Nope, it closed, like, last week.
No, man, there's another.
Like 2 weeks ago. No, there were two left. There is now one in Australia. That's the only one.
Nah.
Mm.
Nah.
Mm.
Nah.
Yes.
Nah.
I'll go door to door. Hey, kid.
And what?
Hey, kid, are your parents home?
I got to ask them about Blockbuster.
I just got to tell them. I believe that there's only one Blockbuster left.
What do you mean? You believe? You're not certain? No, I'm not willing to look
this
up.
It's a court-appointed responsibility.
Look, I just got to tell you this and then go. Come on, don't make this weirder than it has to be.
Of course there's only one Blockbuster left, but I'm not here to get in an argument. I'm just here to do my court-appointed duties.
Do my due diligence.
Okay, so yeah, she lands in the Blockbuster.
Anyway, she gets out and she's going to try and use some things from a Radio Shack, hey, in order to fuck with a payphone to call.
You used to work at a Radio Shack, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I used to work at a Blockbuster.
Oh, well, with our powers combined,
we lived through the 90s.
We've destroyed two places.
It was our fault.
Yep. So she jury rigs a payphone to call Jon Rog and be like, hey, I'm on C-53. Skrulls are coming here. I'm going to go fuck them up.
Well, she really is like, I'm going to go figure out this Pegasus shit that was in my head. And he's like, whoop, nope, no, no.
Hey, you chill out. We're going to be there as soon as we can. She's like, that's great. Anyway, bye.
Yeah, because he's basically trying to pull the I'm obviously a bad guy, so don't look into it card.
Yeah.
She's like, whoa, calm down now. I'm going to come get you personally, and then we're going to be good friends and everything. And there's no ulterior motive here.
Well, also because he's like, you can't tell anyone that you're there and you shouldn't do anything because you were captured by the Skrulls. So of course people are going to think you're compromised.
Yeah, that's true. Also, anyone you talk to is probably a Skrull.
Also, I'm a Skrull.
So at this point we get our big de-aging arrival of Nick Fury and Phil Coulson,
which ooh, love it.
They both look real good.
Yeah, I mean this is way better than what you were getting in that like Tron shit with the de-aged Jeff Bridges, which baby.
Maybe someday we'll do a young Iron Man movie with a young Obadiah Stane and they'll be able to fix that problem.
They'll be like, hey, let's make an apology version of this.
So anyway, yeah, Sam Jackson and Greg something or other.
Yeah, Proops.
Proops. Greg Proops looks great as Phil Coulson. He really vanishes into the role.
It really makes it amazing.
Greg Grundberg? No, he's the fat dude that's in J.J. Abrams movies.
Gregory Peck?
Greg, no. Yeah, maybe?
Gregland.
It's
Gregland?
It's Gregland. No, I forget. I'm sorry, whoever. Clark Gregg looks great as Phil Coulson.
Greg, 2G Greg.
For the two minutes.
3G Greg.
For the 2 minutes he's in this movie, he looks fantastic. Sam Jackson looks amazing, so
yeah,
good on them.
So then we get a great little scene of them getting shot at by Skrulls, because Skrulls landed and they took the form of some people at the beach.
Some surfer dudes.
But one of them shows up and tries to blast Captain Marvel with a gun, and then she takes off after him, and we get a car chase with Sam Jackson Coulson.
Yeah, yeah. Sam Jackson and Phil Coulson are chasing after Veers, who is chasing a Skrull on an elevated train.
Yep.
So it is a very good dynamic scene. It's got the part from the commercial where
she punches an old lady.
Punches an old lady and then gets in a kung fu fight with an old lady. And then the two of them kind of fight on a train.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like that more than just it being the fight on the train, because you had the back and forth between Fury trying his goddamnedest to follow after this train
mm-hmm.
and just driving like a madman through the streets trying to get after it.
And then right as the chase is over and they're they realize they've lost Marvel, Fury gets a phone call from Phil Coulson, who is still back at the Blockbuster. Oh, no, that person in the passenger seat is a Skrull.
Oh, my goodness. And Fury just straight up gets into a car wreck to fucking ruin this Skrull's day.
Yeah, yeah. Murderfies the Skrull with a car crash. Something about seatbelts. And then the next time we see the Skrull, he's on the operating table at a SHIELD facility.
Yeah.
A 90s SHIELD facility, which looks very austere and shitty compared to like a Captain, you know, your Captain America type movies.
Yeah. Which is weird because I don't think that they would have gotten that much more funding over the past couple of years, but
I think SHIELD's one of those secret, like the MIB kind of organizations where
MIB.
Yeah. Where they constantly introduce more and more rap songs to get themselves more money.
Yeah. Bees.
Yeah, and then they invent the microwave or whatever because aliens gave it to them.
Yeah, great.
So they start out pretty poor. I mean, I don't remember. SHIELD started sometime in the 40s as the Strategic Reserve, SSR or whatever it was called.
Yeah, the USSR.
Yeah, it was the USSR. And then in the 80s, so about 10 to 15 years before this, you have that stuff with Ant-Man and the Wasp, like, doing everything they can to take down one missile.
Yeah, you got that Hank Pym nonsense.
So I don't know I think he's SHIELD at that point. So they've been around. They've been doing stuff.
Yeah.
And they always look different. It's a different story every time.
Every single Tim.
Yeah. Anyway, there's Fury's boss is there.
Yeah.
And he's like looking at the Skrull and they're talking about, oh my gosh, an actual space blorp.
Space blorp.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, look at this motherfucker.
This is where the penis joke that you've heard about on Twitter and so on is. When the two of them make some comments about how it can look like anybody, and then they lift its little blanket thing to look at.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're like, I want to know what, you know, alien junk looks like.
Yeah.
We don't get to see.
We don't get to see. I assume it's a mass of flowers.
Also, they don't even say anything. They're just like, huh. And then they go about their business.
Yeah, it's not as bad as I had been led to believe.
I heard nothing about this movie, so the fact that was in there, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's a nice little throwaway joke.
Someone can probably correct me on, or tell me, educate me on this one, if they feel it is their
tell me about a Skrull penis.
It's a privilege. No, I don't care about Skrull penises in particular, but when I first, the first reactions I had heard to that scene was that it was transphobic.
Weird.
I know, and I'm not sure, I don't know how, but I'm willing to believe that it could be in some way.
That's a weird take, but okay.
All right, well, just putting it out there so that we don't draw a tremendous amount of fire. I've heard that complaint, and while I didn't see it myself, I'm willing to believe you.
Okay.
All right. There we go. Meanwhile, Marvel Veers is hanging out in front of some building. She's hanging out drinking.
Hanging out.
Drinking.
Banging out.
You're not helping me here.
Hanging and banging.
She's not hanging and banging. she's hanging out looking at a newspaper trying to figure out where Pegasus is. So she's got her big, she's got a map, one of those old fold-out maps.
Yeah.
And she's living through that when some dude comes up to, you know, variously hoot and, like, leer at her and stuff.
Be like, hey, baby, give me a smile.
Yeah.
Come on, baby, smile for me.
Smile more. I'm putting effort into you.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah, so she's doing the thing where she, like, flips the paper down and flips it back up at him, you know, like, I'm not reacting to you in any way.
Uh-huh.
And then he calls her a bitch and goes inside of a building, so she steals a grunge outfit and his motorcycle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love that grunge outfit.
That's great.
By the way.
She's got like a Nine Inch Nails shirt on.
Heck yeah.
It's killer. Also, in her flashback, she's wearing the sweet, Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's karaokeing some Lita Ford with her good friend Monica Rambeau in the flashbacks that we haven't really gotten to yet. Probably because at this point they're still all fragmented and disjointed and stuff. And so it's fine to just wait till they're relevant.
Yeah. And she gets to some bar that's near where Pegasus is, and that's when she gets sort of a vague flashback thing where she, like, looks around the bar and sees, like, ghost images of her past and whatnot. She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sort of kind of remembering, maybe.
So she was a test pilot for Pegasus Industries and for the Air Force. So was her best friend, Monica Photon Rambeau.
Wow.
Because that's her call sign.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a fun little reference. And then they also both worked for Annette Bening's character, who has a name in the movie. But
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, it's definitely Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, she's the one that makes you feel all right.
Yeah. She lives with Mr. Brownstone. He won't leave her alone.
Yeah, well, she's going to be your Frankenstein.
Hey, wait a minute. That's not a Guns N' Roses song.
No, neither was anything else I was saying.
Oh, that's right. Dr. Feelgood is not a Guns N' Roses song.
No, it isn't.
Okay, well, then sir, I release you from the bonds of debt.
Oh, good. Finally, I can be free from this podcast. I was only here because of my life debt to you.
Wait, am I allowed to just release the life debt? I
would have done that. Oh, shit. God damn it.
I've done that years ago. I don't have a dog.
I don't want to have a podcast.
I'm allergic to Wookiees.
I'm allergic to podcasts.
I'm allergic to podcasts, too. That's definitely true.
Yeah. That's why you were in the hospital.
That's they keep putting me in the hospital. Okay. She remembers that she used to work for Annette Bening. Annette Bening was taking her out on an important flight or something, and then they crash, and then out from the mist comes a shadowy figure who Annette Bening shoots at but misses. We're changing the story. The story is changing.
Anyway, I don't know that happens right then, but it doesn't matter.
There's so many flashbacks in this movie.
So Fury manages to track her down and shows up in the bar.
And he's like, so now I believe you about shape-shifting aliens. And she's like, okay, well, then I need to test you on whether or not you are a shape-shifting alien.
He's like, well, how do I know you're not a shape-shifting alien? She does the little photon blast, and he's like, okay, what the fuck does that prove?
She's like, yeah, Skrulls can't do that. And he should have been like, yeah, but Kree can't do that. You're the only person who can do that.
Yeah, but I don't know what a Kree or a Skrull is. How do I know Skrulls can't do that?
Yeah, but she makes him, like, admit some...
Yeah, she's like, okay, tell me things from your past, like stuff that a Skrull who just copied you couldn't do.
Yeah, and she eventually settles for he won't eat diagonally cut toast.
Well, she already gets the information she needs and then makes him divulge that, and he was like, you didn't actually need that, did you? She's like, no, I thought it was great, though.
Yeah, I've watched that guy diagonally cut sandwich. I mean, that's a thing that happens in a different film.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's the big
thing. It's a
thing.
Plot hole.
Oh, no, it's not the plot hole. That's how you know he's a Skrull. That's the setup for Secret Invasion.
Yeah, that's how you know he's a Skrull, is that he does eat diagonal toast.
But it wasn't toasted bread. It was just regular bread. He says he can't eat diagonal toast.
That's true. I guess maybe he can eat diagonal sandwiches, but not diagonal toast.
Yeah. So, you know what? Fuck you, everyone.
It's still a Skrull invasion. Anyway, now they're buddy-buddy, so they're going to drive to Pegasus together.
And figure out what the fuck.
Mm-hmm. So they drive on down the road a ways, listening to music, and, I forgot the scene where she stops in an internet cafe and listens to an Elastica song. Anyway, they drive on down to Pegasus, which is one of those places where when you're driving through the mountains and you see, like, a weird fence.
Yeah.
It's one
of
those.
Just a fence off in the distance, you're like, huh.
Yeah. There's so many, because I do a lot of driving around Southern California, and there are so many of those, and I'm always so fascinated by them.
Well, yeah, because there's plenty of, you know, out in the desert of California where you're just like, yep, that's something there.
Yeah, what that is. Ooh, authorized personnel only. Ooh.
Ooh. Personnel. I'm not authorized.
That means it's not like just a fucking failed farm or something.
That's right. It's not just a farm with a fence.
Yeah. Anyway, so they get to Pegasus. And Shield Man or Fury manages to get in there by like
being in Shield, and then just saying, "And this is my partner."
Yeah, and this is my partner, also of Shield. And they make her wear a Shield hat.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now they're in the building, and John, take over.
Okay. So,
Mind. I want to take over. I'm kidding. No. Go ahead, please.
So Talos is
Talos.
Talos is the Skrull that is impersonating Nick Fury's boss. We find this out during the whole autopsy scene beforehand, because he like squats down and does a little like Skrull prayer for his dead comrade.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So Fury contacts him basically to be like, hey, we're here and I've got a weird, different alien. So, you know, come on by.
Mm-hmm.
And, his Skrull / boss is like, oh, don't tell anyone. We've got to keep this super hush hush. Don't let anyone know anything else. I'm going to show up personally.
Mm-hmm.
Again, one of those I'm definitely not a bad guy moments.
Yeah, but we also get during the long rambling drive to get to Pegasus in the first place, we get the setup for how Fury's going to know that this guy's a Skrull in disguise.
Yeah.
Which is a long conversation about how everyone just calls him Fury and no one calls him anything but Fury.
Yes, because she sees his ID and is like, Nicholas something Fury. I can't remember what his middle name is now.
Jebediah.
And he's like, no, just call me Fury. Everyone calls me Fury.
If I had kids, they'd call me Fury.
What does your mom call you? Fury. What do you call your mom? Fury.
Yeah. But then when he gets into an elevator in the later scene here with his boss from S.H.I.E.L.D., he's like, hello, Nicholas. Good job.
Good job, Nicholas. And he's like, what the fuck?
Oh, shit. This guy's definitely a Skrull.
But yeah, they go through. They go to the records room and they look up shit. And
it's real easy. Given that they walk through a filing cabinet room for a full, like, that was put there by top men.
Top men.
Yeah, it's just vast.
Well, I assume it's just alphabetical, and they went to B for Benning.
Mm-hmm. They went to B for Benning.
So they look up all the stuff on the project that was going on and find out that I wish I could remember what the actual like thing she was playing was, but Annette Bening's character was trying to work on an experimental plane jet thing. And
yeah, the Lightspeed project. She was trying to develop the. I mean, I don't remember if they mentioned that here, but the Lightspeed drive is what she was working on.
Yes, which isn't a thing that they mentioned, but it's a thing the Kree are worried about.
Everyone wants the Lightspeed drive.
Yeah,
the Lightspeed drive is the thing that Annette Bening's character was inventing. It's a thing that lets them circumvent the jump point system of travel that Marvel Space currently operates under.
Yeah.
You remember that from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that scene where Rocket...
They go through so many jumps.
Yeah, that makes their faces all hilarious. That's because they have to go through all these jump gates instead of just traveling where they want to directly.
Yeah.
But Annette Bening apparently is working on a drive that will let people just jump wherever they want. It's probably powered by improbability or something. The Kree really want it, and the Skrulls really want it, and it's really important.
Yeah.
And it's got a terrible name.
Well, the Skrulls really want it because it means they could get out from under the Kree, and the Kree don't want the Skrulls to get it because then they could go wherever they want.
Yeah, although at this point in the movie, we still think that the Skrulls want it because they want to fight wars with the Kree as opposed to get out from under the Kree.
Well, I mean, it's basically they could escape the Kree.
Yeah. Anyway, we get all of that detail, and we also get some further detail on Carol Danvers' life as well, because right next to the B for Benning is the B for Bree.
Yeah.
So they're able to look...
God, they like to go back and forth between first name and last name on how they file things.
Allison Bree and Annette Bening are both last names.
Bree Larson, however.
Oh, that's right. It's not Allison Bree. That's a completely different person.
Yes, it is. Turns out she looked up all the information on Allison Bree and was like, oh, that's weird. This isn't me.
Community looks pretty good, though.
I'd watch Community, though.
I'll go check that out for
glow.
Sure.
Glow. Nice.
Ooh. Bree Larson. Right. The different person. Yeah.
The different person with a name that is similar.
All I have to do is remember is that if they star in a Marvel movie, they're one of Scott Pilgrim's evil exes. Yeah. That or the evil exes who we must fight.
Yeah.
Because this one was his evil ex, and then the other ones are the ones who had to fight.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
She finds out that Annette Bening was also a Kree, because they find the notebook, and there were a bunch of little scribblings in there.
Yeah, they're
and Kree Fury's
glyphs.
Like, oh, that just looks like some weird garbage, like, nonsense, and she went crazy. She's like, oh, no, this is Kree.
I like that he sees that, and he's like, well, I just learned about aliens yesterday. And now I'm definitely seeing a weird alien alphabet, but my assumption is that she went crazy and started writing in hieroglyphs. And not just, oh, is that your alien people's language?
Well, he doesn't think that this person was an alien.
I mean, he has no good reason to, but he has no good reason not to either at the moment. He knows nothing about this person.
Hey, man, knee-jerk reactions are hard to beat when you've only been known about aliens for like a day.
I think the knee-jerk reaction is the kind of thing that makes Nick Fury the dynamic character he is.
Well, he has to learn that over the course of this film.
He gets with the program at a master's degree level.
Man, he spends a lot of this film assuming things and then being proved wrong.
I mean,
which is why he becomes the director later, because then he's like, oh, I don't believe anything.
I mean, to be very honest, that starts pretty much right away in this same scene when they find the cat.
Yeah.
See, Annette Bening's old cat has apparently been hanging around this Pegasus facility for about 6 years now, because that's how long it's been since Annette Bening died. And I guess they just let the cat stay in the facility.
Yeah. Cat's just hanging out.
So Goose the cat has been introduced at this point. Now, anyway, Skrulls are showing up and they're making a ruckus.
They're making a ruckus. Thanks, Jeff.
They just pulled all the pots and pans out of the drawers.
Oh, man. They're just running around yelling and playing with sticks.
There's a great scene where Talos's glasses get knocked off and he puts them back on. And then he morphs them out of existence, which means that they can morph into parts of themselves that can come off and go back on. I mean, that's pretty fucking powerful when you stop and think about it.
When you think about it.
Yeah. Like, if you really want to escape and you're a Skrull, you could just morph into a bunch of tiny guys. Or just one dude who's made of a bunch of tiny guys.
Just a bunch of tiny guys. No, I mean, it's more like a lizard losing its tail.
And then sticking it back on.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
It's like the lizard losing its tail and then sticking it back on and fighting Spider-Man.
Can the lizard do that?
Sure, why not?
Does he have regenerate? I guess he does.
Yes, that's the whole point of it.
Because the arm always grows back, so sure, why not? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
That's the reason he becomes the lizard.
Anyway, the Skrull ruckus causes these characters, these fucking guys.
These rambunctious
characters to want to escape.
So anyway, they go into the hangar. I mean, it's only really Talos that's doing anything because he's impersonating the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just got a whole bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that he's like, hey, take this guy down.
That's true. The rest of these people are S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, including Phil Coulson, who's here.
Which they run into, and he's like, nope, didn't find anybody.
Yeah, Phil Coulson is on Fury's side.
Phil Coulson, always a good guy, mm-hmm. never a bad guy.
Yep, yeah, you can't corrupt Phil Coulson.
Phil Coulson does what's right.
Yeah. Anyway, they find a plane that looks like a cool space plane, and they escape in it.
Yeah. They get pretty much the proto-Quinjet is what they essentially get into.
Yeah, more or less. It's a hovery airplane sort of thing. And, of course, Brie Larson, now that I remember it's not Allison Brie, can fly
it. Of course.
Yeah, can fly it. And so they fly it to safety, and they're headed to, I believe it's Mississippi, because that's where LaShawn Lynch's character, Monica Rambeau, lives now.
Yeah, and the cat's there.
Oh, yeah.
The cat stowed away in the ship when they left.
Yeah, so they have a cat.
So they got Goose.
They got Goose.
Get Goosed.
They get Goosed on.
So they're going to go see Rambeau, mm-hmm. and there's First Blood.
So they see Monica Rambeau. To be kept separate in your mind from Maria Rambeau, her daughter, and the next Captain Marvel in the line of Captain Marvels.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Captain Marvels.
Yeah.
There's a Marvel, there's a Captain Marvel, there's a different Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Is there a third Captain Marvel?
Why not?
I don't know who comes up after.
I mean, there's Miss Marvel.
Yeah, Miss Marvel's not a Captain Marvel.
Well, I mean, Miss Marvel is a Captain Marvel, and then there's a different Miss Marvel.
Well, okay, fair. For like 3 weeks in the 70s, there was a Miss Marvel. She picks that Captain Marvel, actually, mantle real early on.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, so they get there, they land, and we get the tearful reunion between Monica Rambeau and Carol Danvers. And thankfully, Maria Rambeau, the young girl character, is extremely useful in this scene. She completely fills in all the background gaps.
Yeah, we get a lot of fill-in. We find out what's going on. We find out what happened with the crash that day where some nonsense was happening. They're like, oh, we need someone to fly our experimental plane and do some nonsense because
it'll save lives.
Because we're going to save
wars. It will end wars.
Yeah. And so Danvers was the first one to get there. So she ends up being the one to fly it instead of mm-hmm. Rambeau. And then they get shot down and crash. And it turns out, oh no, it wasn't a Skrull that shot Annette Bening when they crashed. It was motherfucking Yon-Rogg.
Well, maybe it was a Skrull that looked like Yon-Rogg.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. That's good. They had a second to exchange codes, and he knew them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Yon-Rogg is the bad guy now. We know. We know this.
We know this now.
Yeah, and they're coming for the lightspeed drive, but where could that possibly be? It wasn't in the airplane. The airplane was just receiving information from the lightspeed drive. Well, luckily, we know these secret orbital codes that tell us that there's an invisible thing in Earth space that's definitely where the lightspeed drive is.
Well,
moving right along.
This is the point where Talos and some other Skrulls show up,
mm-hmm.
and we get a confrontation, and they're like, oh, fuck you. And he's like, whoa, hold on. Just fucking listen to me for a goddamn second, would you?
Yeah. And they're like, why would I want to do that? Remember back in front of the Blockbuster where one of your people like straight up shot at me with a sniper rifle? I feel like that was the point at which I decided I wouldn't listen to you guys, was when you actually tried to kill me.
Well, I mean, you tried to kill me, so I think it's only fair.
Mm-hmm. Rules of engagement and all that.
Yeah, but yes, right now we're just hanging out. I'm just a Skrull looking at a girl.
I love his outfit at this point, too, because he's wearing like this cool black suit with this girl face.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he's doing the fucking Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction thing.
Yeah.
Where he's got the cup and he's just sort of sipping it.
Mm-hmm. So it turns out that another Skrull is standing outside pretending to be Monica Rambeau and effectively holding Maria hostage. So that at this point, they have a little detente, and the hostage situation comes to an end, and Talos gets a chance to explain himself.
Yeah.
And what's his explanation? We're not fighting in a war with the Kree. We're just refugees. We already lost the fucking war.
Yeah, we lost the war, and now you are just trying to commit full genocide on us.
Yeah, and we just want to be done. We don't want to fight you guys. We want to get to a place where the Kree can't get to, and that's why we want the lightspeed drive so bad.
Yeah, because with the lightspeed drive, we could actually get places and not worry about jump points, so that way you wouldn't be able to really track us or follow us. We could just go somewhere without worrying about, you know, one of those fucking bowtie ships showing up and blowing up our planet.
Exactly. So they agree to work together on a temporary basis because there's still a lot of bad blood between these Krees and these Skrulls.
Yeah.
But at this point, Danvers, who is also, I don't think she's found her dog tag yet, but she's completely back to the side of being a good guy, and she knows that she can't be a Skrull or Kree anymore.
Yeah.
So this is the point where she goes to Maria Rambeau and is like, hey, can you help me pick a new color for my uniform? Because right now it's in the black and green Kree outfit, and I don't think I can wear those colors.
Yeah. So there's a whole sequence where they go through a bunch of different shades of colors and things, and we get a throwback to the original Marvel, like gray and green.
Yeah, we get a white and black binary one. We get a, I think we get a black and red Civil War II one. So they look through a variety of colors, and then they settle on the red, blue, yellow.
Yep. And
no sash, though. This movie is criminally low on Captain Marvel sashes.
But we have Talos's science guy is going to retrofit the Quinjet that they have to go into space, because then they can go to the space thing.
It'll only take like 10, 15 minutes, apparently.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's
a science guy.
He's a good science guy.
Yeah.
Actually, he's a bad science guy, but in this situation, he's a good science guy.
Oh, he's a good science guy.
Well, they make their way up to space, where they are already fully expecting that they're going to have to deal with the Kree, who are showing up any minute now. They had about a 22-hour window that it would take for them to arrive at Earth, because of jump gates.
Yeah.
So they have a little bit of time left, but they know that eventually the Kree are going to show up, and they're not going to show up as just the Kree team, but also eventually the pursuers
the accusers
are going to show up in their bow tie ships.
Yeah.
So they're, it's a race against time.
Yeah.
And they fly up into space, and sure enough, right at the coordinates where it should be, there's an invisible battle cruiser.
Yes, indeedy. And inside is, we find out that Benning is Mar-Vell.
Yeah, so Benning is actually Mar-Vell. A gender swap that's sure to piss off the people who weren't going to see this movie anyway.
Oh, no.
Oh.
The SJWs are at it again.
How dare they mess with Mar-Vell, a character no one gives a shit about.
No one could possibly even remotely give a fuck about.
Yeah. Just sort of farted his way around Marvel comics for a little while, basically being a shitty Superman until they were like, finally, hey, why don't we try retooling this guy into a much better character? And indeed they did.
And indeed that happened.
Yeah. Okay, so they find out that Benning was Mar-Vell, that she was Kree, and that this ship is the home of the Lightspeed Drive, which is kind of a misleading name because it's actually just the fucking Tesseract.
Well, the Tesseract is what powers the Lightspeed Drive.
Welcome back, the Tesseract. We've missed you.
Yay. So here we go. That's how we get that.
Yeah, that's where the Tesseract shows up in that time period. I don't know how she got it, because, as I recall, it falls into space in the 40s with Red Skull.
Yeah, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
Shit happens.
Yeah, so there's still a gap. There's an unaccounted for gap. It fell into space, John. Mar-Vell is from space. It's fine. She found it in space.
Yeah, it happened in space.
These are my rewards, Mother, from Space Army.
And so Benning, or Mar-Vell, was trying to make this lightspeed drive for the Skrulls. She found out about the whole, like, there really isn't a war as much as there is an extermination project.
Mm-hmm.
So there are also a bunch of Skrull refugees up here that have just been living up here for 6 years on this battleship.
Including Talos's family, which was not mentioned before this.
Yeah, and so that's why we find out there's like, oh, that's why you're so personally invested in this.
Yeah.
It's less about the lightspeed drive and more because you know your family's here.
Yeah. So Talos's kid and wife are here, along with just a bunch of other Skrulls. And let me just go ahead and say this. Anytime in this movie where Skrulls talk with other Skrulls and they aren't just speaking English, they sound ridiculous. They mostly speak in the kind of gooey gurgles you would expect a Bigfoot to deliver to a wounded raccoon. Kind of shit. They sound like pigeons.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not great.
I'm fine with pigeon speak.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the Skrulls wants to show Captain Marvel how good he is at pinball.
Yep. Great.
And that all happens, and they put the there's a bunch of shit up on the battlecruiser that's like Skrull property. So they empty out a lunchbox and hide the Tesseract in it.
Yeah. So they've got a Fonz lunchbox that has that in there, and they're like, okay, the fucking the
Kree?
The Kree are showing up, so we gotta get the fuck out of it. Oh, no, the Kree are here.
And then the Kree show up, and we get some confrontations. They immediately capture everybody. Their plan is to vent everybody who isn't Captain Marvel into space. And then with Captain Marvel, they use a remote access thing to make her go talk to the Supreme Intelligence again.
Yeah.
And the people who are capturing her are the Kree that we already knew about, Atlas and Minerva and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just the same crew.
The same team. And they've already called ahead. They know that it's too late for Earth, so they've called ahead to the accusers.
They've called ahead for pizza.
They've called ahead for pizza and for the accusers to show up and shell Earth into nothing.
Yeah.
Because there's probably Skrulls on it anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we get a scene where Captain Marvel, now angry, has to talk to the Supreme Intelligence again.
And in case you are wondering why they don't just kill Carol Danvers here, because they're like, oh, we got our Lightspeed Drive. You've obviously gone sort of evil to us.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone hostile to us. So, you know, why aren't they doing that? Well, because they think that the key to it is basically locked in her.
Yes.
The original crash of this experimental ship exploded, and the energy from that is suffused with Danvers, so that's where her powers are coming from.
Yeah, her photon blasts and so on are the result of an exploding space engine.
Yeah, she basically got imbued with weird Infinity Stone energy.
She was bit by a radioactive engine.
Yeah, and now she's Engine Woman.
She's Turbo Teen.
she is Turbo. She's Emperor Palpa Turbo Teen.
Okay, so yeah, she has to talk to Annette Bening as now much more in her original guise. She's wearing the Pegasus jacket and everything. Also, there's a LP player in her magic techno dimension playing Come As You Are.
Yeah, sure.
The Nirvana song, sure. That's a really weird thing for me because that's diegetic to the film, the fact that there's an LP player playing a Nirvana song in there.
Yeah.
Except that Danvers disappeared from the Earth in 89, and that song happened in 92.
Yeah, but
people were
she's been on Earth for a few days now.
I guess during
the radio played it.
I guess during the scene where she was driving to Pegasus, that song played.
Yeah,
she's like,
hell
yeah.
Played. She was like, that's a fucking jam there.
She probably didn't notice. I mean, this is all getting pulled from her subconscious.
Yeah.
Or maybe in this universe, she just all the time had Come As You Are in her subconscious. Like maybe she
wrote it.
She wrote it. She was the actual writer of Come As You Are.
Yeah.
In this universe specifically. And so they're just pulling it out of the archives of her brain.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Well, she has a conversation with the Supreme Intelligence who's like, hey, you have to submit to our will or whatever. And she's like, no. And here's a montage of me getting up every time anyone tells me that I should stay on the ground.
Yeah. And then she goes full Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And
she pulls a little dingle thing off her head.
Yeah. She like has so much energy it blasts the little thing on her neck so she can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
And
now she's all the way Captain Marvel.
She is straight motherfucking going to destroy everything.
So she more or less beats her way out of the Supreme Intelligence's dimension.
Yeah.
And then gets in a fun fight with all of the Kree at once.
Yeah. And it's not really much of a fight. She's like, yo, what up? I'm a badass.
Yeah, she clowns them pretty. They all have cool weapons. Like all of them have interesting weapons they can use and so on. But right at the beginning of the thing, she just picks one of them up and throws them into a jukebox. And from that point, that's pretty much the whole thing. There's great parts to this fight scene. It's set to I'm Just a Girl, which isn't my favorite song in the world, but it's a fun thing to be set to. But the scene with Minerva is really funny.
Yeah.
With like, hey, you knew this whole time, didn't you? That must be why we never hung out.
I was like, no, I just don't like you.
Yeah. Anyway, let's keep fighting.
Anyway, let's fight.
Yeah. So she beats up all these people, but doesn't kill any of them. And then she manages to, there's a whole bunch of shit here where we don't know who's got the Tesseract and what box it's hiding in and what have you.
Yeah.
So she
they were going to take the Skrulls and Fury and whatnot and go dump them into space, but Talos managed to look like one of them and is basically going to murder the guards.
So murders the guards, loads everyone onto the space plane, and they escape with Maria, or, sorry, Monica flying the plane.
Now, it's also important to note that Goose is here as well.
Oh, that's right. Goose is here, and we get our big reveal that Goose is not a cat.
Goose is not a cat. Goose is a Flurkin?
A Furby.
Yeah, he's a Furby.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You got it right. It's Flurkin.
It's a Flurkin.
Yeah.
Which means...
means he's got a giant squid face.
He's got bigger, tentacle things that he can murder people
he's
with.
He's bigger on the inside than the outside. He's completely full of evil, hooky, purple tentacles.
Yeah. And so he fucking eats the Tesseract and some guards.
Uh-huh.
And they get into a ship to fly off. And then Yon-Rogg is like, well, fuck you then. I'm going to shoot down that ship full of people and get that Tesseract.
Yeah, so he sends one of the surviving and uninjured members of the team, Minerva, to fly down and blow them up with a spaceship, and then he follows in his own spaceship.
So Captain Marvel goes in a spaceship, then gets blown up, and then realizes she can fly.
Yeah, she's just fallen to Earth, and she's like, oh, wait a minute, I have superpowers. I'm the first character in the MCU that can fly without robot powers.
So here we go.
So fly, fly, fly. I guess maybe
Thor can.
Hmm?
Thor can.
Well, yeah. No, he doesn't have robot powers. He has. It's the hammer that's flying, and not him.
Well,
I mean, he's still using a chunk to fly.
Well,
yeah. Well. I think the only one is Scarlet Witch, and she can kind of do some hover, fly, jumpy things.
Well, Vision.
Vision is all robot parts.
Yeah, but he's not using robot parts.
He is specifically using robot parts.
No, he's using Infinity Stone, technically.
I'm counting that as a chunk.
A chunk of his robot?
And I'm pretty sure he doesn't need the Infinity Stone to fly around.
Oh,
he does. All of Tony's other drones can fly around without Infinity Stones.
Yeah, but he doesn't use jets. He just flies.
That's true. He does have like anti-grav technology built in. He used the Infinity Stone. I mean, that's the Mind Stone. He used it to build Infinity Tech in his own body to fly around in. Wait.
Around within.
I'm calling him mostly Chunk by weight.
Okay, sure. What?
Yeah. The only two who can fly unaided are Scarlet Witch and now Captain Marvel.
Great.
Yep. It's very important.
It's very important, deal. I'll let you have it. Fine.
So we get the hero scene from Monica Rambeau where she manages to basically Independence Day her way around some canyons and blow the shit out of Minerva.
Yeah, and then we get Captain Marvel just like goes into orbit, fucking blows up a shitload of Marissa Tomei's. These Kree Marissa Tomei's are coming in.
What kind of Pokemon is Marissa, John? Is that a water type?
I'm pretty sure Marissa would probably... I feel like that's what?
Fighting? Water metal is what I'm picturing.
I'm thinking fighting metal.
Because I hear Marissa and I think of torpedo Pokemon.
See, I think
part marine,
of missile.
Part missile. Yeah, exactly. Part marine, part missile.
Part Marissa Tomei, part missile. Marissa.
All right. I don't think that the people who make Pokemon would add Marissa Tomei to a Pokemon.
Hey, but they've added a lot of weird stuff so far.
That'd be the weirdest thing. That they would have added. I mean, and I'm counting shit like the key ring one.
Yeah. Even though we've got an ice cream Pokemon.
Yeah. Marissa Tomei is a little weirder.
A little weird. Well,
you know what? When Generation 9 comes out, it'll just be all the actors from My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it'd be all the people from Who's the Boss?
Nope. I'm sticking to My Cousin Vinny. I want a Fred Gwynn Pokemon.
So, anyway.
They shoot a bunch of missiles at Earth through the accusers, and she catches one and throws it into the other ones, basically pulling off a missile command.
Yeah, she blows up all the missiles and then flies into space and just, like, flies through all of these, like, bowtie ships.
Yeah, she realizes how powerful she is here and has a really joyous scene where she blows up a bunch of fighters and then just straight up rams her ships with herself and blows them up.
Yeah, she goes to Ronin's ship and, like, they've got a view screen and she just, like, flies up next to it and is like, yo, you need to get the fuck out of here.
And fist pump move.
And then Ronan's like, yeah, well, time to go.
Yeah. Well, she does this thing where she punches one hand into the other and like a huge nuclear wave comes out of it. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Fuck this then.
Yeah, so he leaves. He's like, I'm off to die another day after a dance battle.
I am off to go become way weirder and then die.
Well, I'm pretty sure that she, because her whole thing is that at the end of this movie, she's like, all right, Kree, I'm coming to fuck you up. Like, she sends that message off to them. And of the Kree that we see after this movie, or before this movie, we see Korath, Dumon Hunsu's character, who has survived, but is definitely not working for the Kree anymore.
No.
And we see Ronan, who has gone bug fuck.
And we do get a few Kree things in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though mostly that is... I mean, it wouldn't
They basically find a Kree body on Earth at some point. And it has
I mean, there's some other Kree shit that happens.
And there's also, at the beginning of Guardians 1, there's a scene where they talk to a Kree representative, the Xandar people do, and they're like, we are no longer responsible for Ronan. He is, we're in the peace accords with you guys, and everything's fine. Ronan's a weird zealot, and we don't claim his shit.
Yeah.
He's just a murderer flying around in one of our battleships, that's all.
He's just a murderer with a murder ship, and we can't do anything about it.
We're real assholes here on Kree. Goodbye.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so she blows up a bunch of ships and stuff and then flies on back down to Earth where
she blows up motherfucking Yon-Rogg's ship.
Yeah. Yon-Rogg's ship is crashed and he gets out of it and he tries one last tactic on her.
Yeah. Now he gets out and he's like, oh, I'm so proud of you. Now you need to show me that what you've learned to control yourself and you must fight me, like, hand to hand and see if you can best. And then she just blasts him into a fucking rock face.
Yeah, she just shoots him into a rock face and is like, no, I don't know you shit.
And I loved that specifically because the first scene at the very beginning where they are sparring, he's like, oh, if you can knock me down, then, you know, your training will be
Your powers. Yeah.
So there's this whole thing where he's talking about, like, control yourself and then you'll truly be whatever and you'll be able to knock me down. And when I saw that, I immediately went, oh, that's going to be a climax of this film. She's going to have to fight him and it won't be with powers and she'll beat him up and it'll be the big moment for that. But when she just blasts him, I was like, yeah, fuck you. Good.
That's her whole thing. She's like, fuck your training. I have space lasers.
I don't need your shit. The fact that I'm not Kree is what makes me rad. So go fuck yourself.
Yeah. The fact that I got bit by a radioactive engine and I'm a teen who turns into a car is what makes me rad.
So then she just sort of straps him into a little pod to go back to Hala and is like, here's a message. Tell them I'm coming back there and I'm going to fuck their shit up and they're not allowed to be assholes anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's so. And then she just throws him into space, which is great.
Yeah.
And then we get our big old denouement. It turns out that they're going to give that battle cruiser to the Kree or to the Skrull so they can try and escape and hide somewhere. And she's going to fly escort for them.
Yep. And fucking Fury got scratched by Goose in his eye and that's how he lost it. We did get a couple little red herring, like, oh, I kind of fucked my eye up thing.
Yeah, he gets punched by a Skrull and so on.
He gets, like, in the accident, he gets hit in the eye.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, is this how he loses the eye? And then it's just the cat scratches him, but because it's a Flurkin, it just destroys his fucking eye cavity.
It's important to note that he fucking loves that cat from minute one. He's just like a big cat person.
Oh, yeah. The second he sees, he's like, oh, my God, who's a good little guy?
And so they can square the circle that someone asked him how he lost his eye in another movie, and he says, like, oh, the person I trusted most betrayed me.
We get that. And then fucking Fury goes back to S.H.I.E.L.D. and...
Yeah.
He writes up the Protector Initiative, but then he sees a picture of Carol Danvers' plane, and her call sign was Avenger, so then he makes it the Avenger Initiative.
And then when the two of them are washing dishes together after having dinner with all the Skrulls and the Rambos and have you, what have you, and she's like, here, I took a pager that I had, and I modified it to be the one you see at the end of Infinity War. Don't use it unless it's an emergency. And I'm like, why? What do you care? If you get paged and you're too far away, just don't come back. But yeah, she's like, don't use it unless it's an emergency.
Because I got Kree to beat up.
Also, he gives her the idea for her code name because he keeps calling Marvel Marvel.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, like the Marvelettes. And then he starts singing Call the Postman.
Yeah, Call the Postman.
I'm sorry, it's Ring the Postman, whatever.
It's Mr. Postman.
Mr. Ring the Postman.
Mr. The Postman Always Rings Twice.
That's the one.
There we go.
It's sung by Alison Brie. She's in the Marvelettes, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Alison Brie in the Marvelettes.
I'm sorry. Okay, so it's just called Mr. Postman. So he sings a little chunk of Mr. Postman.
Mr. Postman.
And he talks about how much he loves the Marvelettes, and now she knows. Well, and also, you're a captain, aren't you, he says. And she's like, you've given me a lot to think about.
Yeah. I'll be Captain Marvelette.
I'm going to go by my last name first and then my first name, And then I'm just gonna short it down to the initials. I'm gonna be Captain DC.
That's me. Shazam, I say.
that's my call phrase.
That was my call sign. I was Carol Shazam Danvers.
Call me Captain Danvers. Carol. Or Captain DC for short.
Anyway. So, yeah. We end with the whole Avengers Initiative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the end credit.
Which are set 3 years later, because the movie ends in 1995, and then they play a song over the end credits from 1998.
But it doesn't matter, because it's not diegetic, so who cares?
All they have to do is, if they had just put in a little thing that says 3 years later, and then started the credits.
Whatever.
Then Celebrity Skin would have been, I'm not saying that they didn't do it right, John, I'm just saying that would be way funnier.
Sure. Anyway, the end credits, we get Goose barfs up the Tesseract.
Yeah, that's one of the two end credit scenes. The other one is... that the Avengers are there. They have
basically the call using the pager thing, and she shows up.
Yeah, and that's it. And we get to see a bunch of Avengers.
Yay!
Hooray!
Hooray! So there you go. There's Captain Marvel.
That's the movies.
This is all right, Jeff. Jeff, let me ask you a question.
All right, sure.
What was your favorite thing in this?
Oh, Alison Brie's acting.
Yeah, obviously.
The Postman Rings Twice.
Alison Brie's performance of The Postman Always Rings Twice.
Was Alison Brie in The Postman? I could have sworn that was mostly just
Nicholas Cage.
Kevin Nealon?
It was Kevin.
It was Kevin Nealon.
My favorite actor, Kevin.
Tom Petty was in it. I remember that much. It's also one of those movies where the bad guy actually says, cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war with a straight face.
You know, like happens in several things.
Yeah. Sorry for this Postman style derail.
Anyway, my dude, your favorite thing in this movie.
There's a lot of really good stuff in this movie. I'm going to say, so like I was saying before, the problem with saying that Brie Larson's performance is the best thing in this movie is that she has to play a kind of an amnesiac cipher for a lot of it.
Well, yeah, it's how they get around the, like, oh, this isn't a origin movie, because that already happened. I'm like, yeah, but you spent so much time doing flashbacks to it, it may as well have been.
So the scene where she's, like, super joyful and blowing up spaceships and stuff is the first part where you're like, oh, shit, Captain Marvel. And it's really great to see, and I'm going to take that specifically because I know you really want to take Ben Mendelsohn as Talos.
I don't need to.
You're going to if I don't, aren't you? You're not going to leave that apple on the ground.
Oh, no. I'll leave that there because I'm going to say my favorite thing is just fucking Goose. I don't care.
Really? Goose?
I love that cat so goddamn much.
That's fair enough. In that case, I will take Ben Mendelsohn's performance as Talos, which is incredibly funny and a lot of fun, and I'm really glad they didn't kill him because I want to see him again.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how we would, but sure.
I mean, honestly, I think just turning the Skrulls into a refugee story, it was an interesting twist. You know, I don't really have any horse in the race of being like, oh, no, they have to be evil empire.
I can more or less confirm that I would hate it if the next phase of Marvel films was Secret Invasion. No one is who they say they are thing is so fucking played out. I'll take a hard pass on it.
Yeah, I don't need a Secret Invasion. Having the Skrulls be out there is fine, whatever. But yeah, I like that. It was an interesting way and a way to make, like, the message. I guess that would be more than, like, feminist messaging. I was like, this seems like you should be way more angry at the fact that this is very anti-imperialism.
Yeah,
like way more than it is feminist. It's just like, hey, did you know that, like, going to war with someone because you think they are bad and you're trying to exterminate them and they're refugees, and anytime they go someplace you follow them and fuck them up, and like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah, that's a bad message. And for a movie that had a whole lot of Air Force money behind it, it's nice to see that they were willing to go along with that kind of thing for a message.
Yeah.
It was an interesting twist on the Skrulls that I appreciated. And if people are like, oh, no, but how are you going to have bad guy Skrulls in these movies? It's fine. The Chitauri are still kicking around from Avengers.
Yeah, but they don't shapeshift.
I don't know. Maybe they learn.
They learn. They sit down. They get a book on it. You know how you do.
Anyone can. I mean, maybe the Super Skrull, whose name is Kurt, by the way.
Yeah, Kurt Angle.
It's K-I-R-T. His name is just Kurt. Kurt.
Kurt.
Took me forever to remember that shit. God damn. Maybe he writes a self-help book. If you're a Chitauri, how to shapeshift.
I can shapeshift and so can you.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't care. You already bought the book.
That's all it says inside. Anyway.
Fuck you and also fuck the Fantastic Four.
What is your least favorite thing in the movie?
I mean, again, I actually really liked this movie. Kind of had a good flat baseline where there wasn't anything that was deeply stupid. Oh, you're just giving me a baseline. I'll just take the I'm Just a Girl song. I feel like that could have been a cooler song for that fight scene than I'm just, and I'm not saying that it, I'm not saying that the cooler song wouldn't also be a cool Riot Girl anthem from the 90s. The Elastica song that they wasted on an internet cafe would have been perfect right there. And otherwise, this movie was fine. I didn't really hate anything. And now you're going to say something that was legitimately bad, and I'm going to feel bad. So go ahead. Fire away.
Now, for me, I think probably I would say there were a couple goofy things in this that felt a little unnecessary for them. I mean, mostly little like CGI shots, like the cat when they're going into space is like pressed up against the fucking boxes.
Yeah,
and it just
doesn't
look
Garfield,
good.
Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties shit.
Yeah, like that didn't really look good. I was like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
That's not a thing you needed.
Yeah. You should have watched that shot and been like, oh, never mind. He's just on the ship somewhere.
Also, I kind of don't feel we needed to have an explanation for Fury's eye being gone. Like, just end the movie with so many red herrings for it, and then it just doesn't happen. You're like, oh yeah, it happened after 1995. Fuck you.
That'd be great if it just constantly red herringed it and didn't.
And I just mean, that, didn't
that,
do
I
that.
I mean, but you know who already did that is Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. So that there's a whole episode about Phil Ken Sabin almost losing his eye.
Yeah, but that's great, and I would have loved that too.
I would have been fine with that. Yeah,
I think I don't need to have that more than a problem with the movie itself. The idea that you need to keep explaining things.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm like, I don't need that.
Yeah, I think in this movie, if you and I were allowed to make some judicious cuts and additions to this movie, we would probably eliminate that scene where Goose gets knocked into a wall.
Yeah.
We'd replace the I'm Just a Girl with Connection, and we would add a 3 years later immediately before the credits start rolling.
I wouldn't. I would add a little pop-up that says this music is non-diegetic, and then play the credits.
No, I want the music to be diegetic to the credits, and I want it to be like 3 years later, and you're like, oh my god, what's happening 3 years later? What is this?
It's a pre-post-credits
It's a pre-credit stinger. What is this? And then the credits just start rolling. And they don't explain it at all, so you have to be like, wait a minute, oh right, because that whole song came out in 98. That's the only reason they did this.
All right, so we are going to give this movie a rating from 0 to 5. It'll give it a rating out of 10. Jeff?
I'm going to give it a 3.5. It doesn't quite reach the heights of Marvel films. I don't know what your favorite Marvel film is. Mine these days is definitely Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So it doesn't quite reach that insane height. By the way, speaking of non-diegetic usage in movies, how did the Foreigner song start playing on that bridge during the fight scene in Ragnarok? Was there like a hidden like cover band of Asgardians on the bridge? What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Never mind.
Yeah, all right. They were.
So 3.5, Sean.
Great.
I mean the song Foreigner, not a song by the band Foreigner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foreigner showed up, started playing a Journey song.
Made that very clear.
It was
they played a Journey cover of an Asia song.
Weird, right?
Yeah, it got very deep.
I mean, God, I don't know whether to give it a 3.5 or a 4. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to give it a 4 so that we get a 7.5. That's probably where I want this to be anyway.
Fine. Make me the asshole.
Yeah, you're the asshole. This guy doesn't like women. I respect ladies and give them a 4.
Maybe a
5 if they smile more.
I just gave Ragnarok a straight up 5, and it's got the best Marvel woman in it.
Yeah, Kate Blanchett.
Okay, the first and second best Marvel women.
Yeah, so there you go. 7.5. It's good. It's entirely watchable. If you go see it in theaters, you're not going to feel bad about it. It's got some really cool fight scenes and effects and chases and whatnot.
No, it's pretty great.
Yeah. There's a reason to see it on the big screen rather than just waiting for it to be rented. But yeah, so there you go. 7.5. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful, beautiful,
momentous,
occasional podcast.
Celebrational.
It is occasional.
Reputational. This is how we do the Muppet Show.
This is how we do this. Anyway, so we... you got a fast car. God damn it. I'm not going to explain that one. So thank you so much for listening. We will be back in a couple weeks with more Movie Mastery, of course. But if you want to support us, you like listening to us, then you can go to patreon.com/systemmastery and support us there. Anything helps. Jeff's got a bunch of hospital bills, so doing that helps us get a little bit more to pay for his ridiculous like box of pills he takes every day.
It's a terrifying. I was at a doctor today who was like, had not known when he prescribed me all my medications that I didn't have any insurance at all. And he was like, oh, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take some of your pills that are smaller and make them larger so you don't need as many of them. So I'm changing all your prescriptions. And I was like, you realize I'm going to have to go get those again now, right? You just maybe buy them twice this month.
Yeah.
And he was like, but the guy is super cool. The number of things he did for me as a doctor after realizing I was not insured and in his office was epic. So I shouldn't complain too much.
No.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, John, the other Skrull whose name no one can remember is Zaven.
Zaven.
Mm-hmm. That's the one who marries...
Man, that guy just really sounds like he should be doing street magic in Vegas.
Yeah. Zaven's the kind of name where if a human had it, you'd be like, come on, man.
Zaven, really?
What's your real name? I'm going to call you Jeremy.
I bet you're Greg, aren't you? You fucking Greg.
You seem like a Greg. You don't seem like a Zaven.
You dyed your hair black and you got some shitty tattoos, but you're Greg.
Look, I know I'll go for Zaven, but this last name, I'm not calling you Dark Scythe. But fellow traveler, I believe you'll find my name is Zaven Dark Scythe.
So thank you so much for joining us. We will put the new poll for In Theaters up soon. You can go ahead and go to SystemMasteryPodcast.com and the Movie Mastery tab In Theaters Now to vote for that. And if you want to make suggestions for next movies, you can go to our subreddit, r/SystemMastery. We got a big thread there. And also you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're Gmail. Everything is System Mastery everywhere.
Sure, easy to find.
Yep. So join us on our Discord. Fucking, I don't even know, man. Do everything.
Take your wallet out of your pants and throw it as hard as you can in the direction you think we are.
And then go pick it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was a bad decision.
You shouldn't have listened to us, and you shouldn't have listened to this, but thank you for doing so. We will be back in 2 weeks, but until then, you have a good one.